see everyone here tonight, everyone that is here tonight. And we'll look tonight at 1 Peter chapter 5. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. The Apostle Peter is closing out his message to the ones he's written to, which was many of the churches of his time. He says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 10, he says, "But may God, the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a little while, perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now, that's not where he stops his, that's where he basically stops the message that he has, and he has some greetings from others and to others after that, but that's really the end of the letter itself as far as the teaching of it is concerned. And he wants us to understand, and he wanted them to understand, that all with all the difficulties he talked about within the letter of 1 Peter, still God wants us to be saved. He wants us to be have eternal life with him. That's what the purpose of Christ's coming was in the first place. Well, but then what is the promise that God gives to those who follow him? Well, he says that the God of all grace shall himself perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. In other words, make you have a firm and strong foundation of faith and love and the grace of God, and we have eternal life given to us. And Peter is very emphatic about the way he says it. He said, "May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory." One of the other translations says, "May God himself give these things to you." And it shows his determination, and it shows the emphatic language that Peter is using when he's talking about this. It's not just, you know, God do this for you. God himself will do this for you. In other words, he is, you know, here some people talk about sometimes about God being a personal God. Well, in that sense, he is. He is concerned about me and about you individually as much as he is concerned about everyone in the whole world. And that's kind of hard for us to imagine, but nevertheless, that's what the Bible teaches. That God is as concerned about each one of us as an individual as he is about the whole world. And so Christ died for each one of us personally, as well as the sins of the whole world also. And it shows God's determination to protect and take care of his people. From the fountain of, as someone said, from the fountain of God's grace, we receive the call to follow him, and then through his revealed word, we're taught how that is to be done. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Well, that's how we receive God's message. It comes to us because he has revealed it in his word, and from God's grace we receive the promises and the rewards that he gives because we believe and because we obey him. So we look at this idea of God's promise to his followers. Well, what will he do for us? Well, it says he will perfect. In other words, he will bring you to perfection. Now, perfection for us does not mean that we're going to be able to live a totally sinless life, because we're human beings and God knows we fall short, and that's why he gives to us the privilege of repentance and prayer be forgiven when we're in Christ, because he knows we're going to fall short. But we have to understand, God knows we are deficient in so many ways. But if we lack wisdom, as James chapter 1 says, we pray for God to give us wisdom, and he will grant that request. And so we have to understand, we have to be able to have wisdom to do such things as distinguish between right and wrong. And then it's a growing process. When we first come to Christ, we don't always have that full understanding. And over a period of time, or to develop our understanding, our study, our learning, and putting these things into practice. So we'll be better at it later as we practice the things that God has said. Sometimes people come into Christ and they lack a prudence, a cautiousness that comes only because we take time to study and to learn and to put these things into practice. And so God wants us to be able to understand right from wrong. And again, it's a growing process in our life. And that's the idea of perfecting us, getting us better and stronger and more faithful as we carry out our service to God every day. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, one of the things it says about the requirements for elders and deacons is that they are not to be novices. Well, a novice is a new convert. So he's not spiritually developed enough to be able to guide others in the proper way to live a Christian life. So it takes time to develop those things. And so even though there are defects that we have in our lives, we still are to carry on and to be faithful to God. And he also tells us how we are to develop these things. In 2 Peter chapter 1, and beginning at verse 5, he says, "But for this very reason, giving all diligence," in other words, you have to put an effort into it. That's what diligence is. He says, "Add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." Now, sometimes we kind of stop there and we don't go on to the next part. The next part is the result of it if we're faithful to these things. And notice, he says to add very reason giving diligence. In other words, you put yourself into it. Add faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. But why does he tell us to do that? Because we don't automatically know that. We don't automatically just know these things. He has to command us to work at it, and it is. But what's the result? Verse 8, he says, "For if these things are yours and abound," in other words, as you develop them and work at them, and you know, some will have more ability to develop faith, and some will have more ability to develop in their virtue and knowledge and other things. And we don't always develop all these things all at the same time. Some are better at it than others. But as long as we're working at it, God knows that, and he understands, and he forgives. So he says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." In verse 9, he says, "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from all sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to abundantly to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." He says in verse 11, he says, "Therefore, brethren, even more, give them more diligence, even more so." You know, you start out to develop diligence and a desire to do these things. And as we work at it and serve in this way and try to be more faithful, we're going to develop those things, and they're even going to get better. And he says, when you're doing this, you make your calling and election sure. Because we don't have to worry about we're going to fall away from Christ if we're trying to develop our self-control and perseverance and knowledge and virtue and all these things. He says, we're not going to fall away. So he says, you will make your calling and election sure, and you will never stumble. Now again, stumble does not mean that, you know, from day to day we do things that we shouldn't. We fall short. We say things we shouldn't. God knows that we're going to do that, but he's talking about the overall view of our life. He says, you're not going to stumble. God will take care of us. He'll forgive. And he says, because of this, verse 11, "For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So when we develop these virtues and our lives are working, and every day in our lives are working to do that, God's going to be with us. He wants us to. He wants us to succeed. God sometimes, maybe people think, just kind of sits up there and waits for us to do something wrong so he can destroy us. That's not the way God looks at us. If he did, he wouldn't have sent Christ here in the first place, because that would thwart his desire. But God wants us to be saved. The Bible tells us several times in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says he's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We have to be righteous in the sight of God. Now, we cannot achieve righteousness of ourselves. It's impossible, because we're sinners. But God will perfect us in his own way. And that's the idea here from 2 Peter chapter 1. You work at it, you give diligence to add these things, faith and virtue and knowledge and all of those things that he has said. And the Lord is never going to abandon us as long as we are faithful to him. You know, that's his promise. We don't have to worry in our life every day, well, is God going to be there for me today? If we're trying to be faithful to him, even though we fall way short of what we should be, he's always going to be there for us. That's his promise. That's a promise we have in Christ. And the Bible tells us that his love never fails. It never does. It never will. Because God does not fail. But God has promised also not only to perfect us, he has also promised to establish or make us steadfast and strong in his service. The Lord's done it for others. And King David in Psalms chapter 40 and verse 2, he says, he set my feet upon the rock and established my goings. Well, David, you go back and read about King David, and you think of him as the great king, and he is one of the great men of the Old Testament, the writer of the Psalms, and all these things that he did. And yet, you know, he had a sinful side also. And if David could be forgiven of some of the things he did, we certainly can be also. And the Apostle Peter, think about that and how he was when he started as opposed to what he became. You know, he was back and forth, and sometimes he was strong and sometimes he was weak, said things he shouldn't. And Luke chapter 22 and verse 32, Jesus was speaking to the Apostle Peter. He says, I have made supplication for you that your faith will not fail. Well, his faith failed in the sense that he denied Jesus three times. But when it really came down to it and he saw the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he was one of the most courageous people in the Bible from that day forward. And so if Jesus can turn Peter from what he had been before to what he became, he can do the same kind of thing for us. Now, there are Christians that someone has said are kind of like trees that don't have much hold on the ground. They grow up, and the wind blows, and they fall over. I don't know if you've ever seen the giant sequoia trees in California. You know, they're huge. They're massive trees. It's hard for us to imagine here what size they are. And some of the trunks are 25 feet across there. And they are 250 or so feet tall. And you think, well, how can one of those things fall over? And yet they have relatively small root system, and the right kind of wind can blow them over. And so sometimes that's the way Christians are. You know, we look strong and we look faithful on the outside, but sometimes we don't have enough root. And that's the idea here. Now, God wants us to be strong. He wants us to be steadfast and to be faithful in all things. But God can give God can give us the support that we need, but we have to be willing to follow him. We have to make that decision to be his servant. And 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul says in that particular passage, says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now you think about that, it almost sounds like a contradiction to us. Steadfast and unmovable, and yet at the same time you're energetic and abounding in the work of the Lord. But we can do that. We can do both at the same time. And that's what Peter is talking about here. It says, "But may God, the God of all grace, who called us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect and establish and strengthen you and settle you." That's what he wants us to do. And so God also has promised to strengthen us and give us the strength and the power that he wants us to have. Now, you think about fighting in a physical battle there for carnal warfare. There needs to be strength, and that is necessary to do that. Well, spiritually speaking, it's the same thing. If we're not spiritually strong, we can be overcome and we can be destroyed by the power of evil. But if we're feeble and timid and don't stand up for righteousness as we know that we should, we can fall away from the Lord. But God does not want that to happen. He wants us to be strengthened, and he wants us to have the spiritual armor, which we find over in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, turn over there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6 and verse 13. Now, this is Paul's description of the armor of a Roman soldier, and he says, yet this is the spiritual armor that we have. Ephesians 6 verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now, a Roman soldier that went out to battle, sometimes you see pictures and he just got a little shield and breastplate and helmet, and that's about it. Well, that's not the way they went into battle. They were covered head to toe when they went into battle, and with a shield and the sword also. So he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So not only are we to take care of each other, he says you be careful on these things for not only yourself, but all those others who are faithful too. So we're to strengthen each other and encourage each other along the way. And that's what God wants us to do. That's how we conquer evil. Not because we're strong, but because he is. And if we put on the whole armor of God, the spiritual armor, we're not going to be destroyed. The Bible says in Colossians 1 that they are strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all patience and long-suffering with joy. So we are strengthened through Christ in all these areas because God wants us to be strengthened. He wants us to have power, and he's willing to give it. He's willing to give it to us if we will believe and accept it and follow him each day that we live. But God also has promised to, as the Bible here says, to settle you. Now, settling, sometimes we need that. Things go bad in life, and difficulties arrive, and then all these problems we have, and we tend to, our faith tends to waver. Now, the word used here for settle, it's a word meaning grounded and a strong foundation that is set. Well, in Psalms 121, verse 3, David said, he will not suffer your foot to be moved. In other words, God, if we believe in him, he's not going to allow us spiritually to be destroyed or moved off from faith and righteousness. 1 Corinthians 3:11, Paul says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. So God does not want us to be lost. He wants us to be saved. And even though, we every day are confronted with evil that is around us, and we're confronted with sin and temptation, God does not want us to be lost. He wants us to be saved. Those who are faithful till the end, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 19 says, he says, laying up for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. that they may lay hold on eternal life, on the life which is a life indeed. First Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19. So we can lay hold on that life which is eternal because we're faithful now. And it's not because we're good enough, because we're not. We're not righteous enough of our own self, but by the grace of God we can be forgiven. So God has promised those who seek Him to be, as it says here, the God of all grace who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered for a little while, perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. Perfection is in His sight. Sometimes people think we have to be perfect in this life to be pleasing to God. Well, we can't be in the sense of sinless, because we're always going to sin and fall short. But by grace, God's grace, He's going to forgive when we're trying to serve Him. Steadfastness means a single-minded idea of serving God to the best of our ability. Even when we fall short, we get up and we repent, and God will forgive. The strength in time of necessity and built upon the firm ground and foundation of Christ and the righteous life He wants us to have. Well, those are promises to all of us who are in Christ. The believer's character is perfected not because of us, but because of Him. We become firm in the faith, and God's going to bless us now and for all eternity. Well, to understand that, then, we have to strive for this. It's not something that comes natural to us in everything. Some have better ability in one area and some not as much. And so we each have strength. We each have weaknesses, not all the same. But God wants us to be faithful and to encourage and help each other along the way. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12, Paul said to Timothy, he says, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. We have to put forth the effort. We have to be diligent about it, as this particular passage says. It says, He called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered for a little while, perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God wants us to have His blessing, but we have to make the decision to do it. We have to decide from this day forward. And that's the only time we have, is now and forward. We can't do anything about what we've done before, but we can be forgiven now. And if there's a need in your life to respond this evening to the invitation of our Lord, won't you come as we stand, as we sing? Oh.